been paying attention to the pop charts, you may have noticed that the biggest band in the world right now is South Korean. It's the 7-member K-pop boy band, BTS.
BTS is a juggernaut in terms of album sales, in terms of online streams, social media, power, live concerts. I mean, they're breaking records left and right. For 2 years straight, they've had 3 number-one hits.
That's our colleague Neil Shaw, who covers pop music. Neil says one factor in BTS's breakout success has been the band's personality. They're relatable, both in their songs and on social media.
A big difference with BTS is how much personal freedom they were given early on when the band was formed in the early 2010s, to both creatively and personally. As a result, they seemed more natural. They seemed more willing to talk about problems. They seemed more personal and honest to especially audiences in the West that might have thought of K-pop acts as somewhat manufactured.
That authenticity helped build a giant fandom, the BTS Army. And this week, that army freaked out because BTS signaled something new. The band is tired. On Tuesday, BTS streamed a video on YouTube. It's them having dinner and chatting. The video is about an hour long, and the conversation gets heavy. They start talking about how they're feeling, specifically how difficult it is to be in BTS.
They talk about BTS being constricting, needing a break, wanting to develop themselves individually, wanting to kind of grow psychologically. They talk about some of the pressures of the K-pop industry that, you know, have affected all of these acts, pretty frankly. They wanted a break. They are taking some time off, and they're definitely taking a break.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Friday, June 17th. Coming up on the show, is the biggest band in the world breaking up?
This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
BTS, which stands for Bulletproof Boy Scouts in Korean, emerged from the country's pop music industry, called K-pop.
Essentially, we're talking about, you know, something similar to the boy bands and the girl bands that people are familiar with in the 80s and 90s and the 2000s in the U.S.
So like New Kids on the Block?
Right. I mean, that's basically it. And then what happens is that over time, slowly, in the 90s, K-pop starts to make a presence in the U.S. through acts like Big Bang and Psy and Girls' Generation. And that starts to pick up in the 2000s. But still, it seems, despite a modicum of album sales and K-pop events and concerts, it still remains slightly niche.
Eventually, though, K-pop grew into a global superpower. And the companies that manage K-pop stars grew bigger, too. Music became a big business in South Korea.
There are 3 main agencies in South Korea that would pump out these acts, almost like a hit factory. Big Bang, Psy with Gangnam Style. That single was obviously a big hit in the U.S. Oppan Gangnam Style. It's a tough, ruthless industry. I mean, you're basically manufacturing stars, very similar to the way in the U.S. market, historically, stars were manufactured, maybe in earlier decades in pop music history, from the Brill Building to Motown. These stars are made.
Yeah, what do you mean? What is this manufacturing process? How do they build these K-pop bands?
So there are attempts to canvass the country and find talent and then put together the groups like from different places. These groups are trained extensively. There's vocal training, training for how to deal with the press, choreography, dance training.
Once the tons of K-pop idols are created, they remain employees of the agencies that found them, trained them, and put them into musical groups.
So it's basically, they're dying to get this job, and then they just have a salary. Mind you, presumably a pretty good salary, and you also have fame. But typically, artists are not getting advances and royalties the way an artist typically does in the U.S. when they sign a record deal, or when they have a touring agreement, or when they do publishing deals.
They're just getting a working man's paycheck, like the rest of us.
That's right.
In 2010, an upstart agency, then called Big Hit Entertainment, found and trained the seven artists who became BTS. From the beginning, the group had a lot of personality.
Fellas, introduce yourselves.
How you doing? I'm RM. I'm a nice boy.
Hi, guys. I'm Suga.
Hi, my name is V, and I'm a good boy.
Hi, I'm your Hope. You're my Hope. I'm J-Hope.
Hi, I'm Jimin. Nice to meet you guys.
Hello, I'm Worldwide Handsome Jin, you know?
Hi, I'm Jungkook. Thank you for inviting us.
And BTS stood apart from a lot of the other K-pop groups because they pulled from different musical influences.
So you got an act that's kind of half rapping. And what it results in is tracks over time that are pretty hip-hop fluent.
Was the band operated and managed according to that K-pop formula that you described earlier?
At the end of the day, BTS is a K-pop act. And K-pop experts think that Big Hit Entertainment, which is now called HYBE, took a different road than the other three major agencies. Instead of controlling every aspect of BTS, whether it's the music, the lyrics, how the artists behave on social media or in their personal lives, Big Hit gave BTS a relatively large amount of leeway in creative and personal freedom. And that shows up in the candor of the acts when they're in their music or when they're talking in public. It also gives them a level of credibility that I think has really translated overseas.
Yeah, what was like their first big breakout hit?
You know, I think it's basically around 2018 when they really start making inroads in the U.S. And songs like Fake Love. It's sugary pop that has hip-hop accents and acts a lot like a 2000s hit in the sense that it's produced and made in the same way. There's a beat. And then lyrics and melodies are poured on top of that. In the case of Fake Love, a pretty catchy one. And essentially what you have in 2018 that I think really strikes the fancy of a lot of US listeners is this sugary pop like you see in Fake Love, but also you see their hip hop skills front and center. There's another song from 2018 called Anpan Man. It really shows their rhythmic and their hip-hop skills. You're watching them make these hip-hop inflected pop tracks that often are thoughtful. Like Anpan Man, that song is actually, it's about a Japanese manga character named Anpan Man. The character is a superhero, but is a weak superhero. So the theme of the whole song is, you don't have to be a superhero. You can be a superhero in your own way. And it hits on a theme of self-empowerment and self-acceptance that is a common one for BTS.
Next, the band set its sights on the U.S. And in 2020, the group struck it big with a song called Dynamite. The song was entirely in English, which was new for the band, and it became their first number one song in the U.S. And last year, they repeated its success.
BTS released another chart-topping hit in English. It's actually my son's ringtone. It's called Butter. Smooth like
butter. So Butter is basically a nakedly, brazenly, trying to be fun, sugary summer pop jam. It's pure dance pop. So you're looking at a really catchy hook, the whole idea being smooth like butter, and then an insistent beat that is a little bit more poppy compared to maybe what they're doing in the past.
And does it have that same hip hop feel?
Some of the beats that they're using, some of the what's called the bed in pop music, some of the foundations of the songs have been slightly less hip hop and a little bit more dance pop music. In addition to the song being in English, many of the songwriters are also American, one of them being Ron Perry, the head of Columbia Records, which until recently was one of the partners helping BTS. So they're very much in recent years going a poppy, trendy route, which some BTS fans have mixed feelings about.
And is the BTS army of fans equivalent to the Swifties with Taylor Swift?
One of the most powerful fan armies, stan armies, as some people call them, they're very protective. They also do a lot to educate other fans and music fans about BTS culture. I think it's also heartwarming how easy it is to find translations of BTS music. You might think, like, well, this music's in Korean. Isn't this hard to access for non-Korean speakers? There are just so many resources out there built by all of the BTS translators, fact checkers, like economic analysts.
But this week, the BTS army was dealt a blow. Their beloved boy band needs a break.
How well do we know the people we work with every day? We share lunches, jokes, and deadlines, but are we aware of the unseen struggles we often face silently? Stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or feeling misunderstood at work. Through insight, awareness, and empathy, we can start to better see the issues our coworkers are dealing with, and that can make us and our companies healthier too. Join Holly Robinson-Pete and her guests on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
Since its founding in 2013, BTS went from conquering the South Korean markets to topping the charts in the US. But even though the band was thriving, the reality is K-pop groups usually have short careers.
One thing that's striking and painful about the K-pop industry is it's grueling just to get into the group. And then once you're in that quintet or septet in BTS's case, historically, the careers have tended to have a shelf life. The K-pop industry is pumping out these acts left and right every year. Typically, a group doesn't last very long. They last maybe a couple of years and kind of age out of it, or maybe the group is just less sexy in the market and then another group comes along. It's striking that BTS has been together for so long.
Because BTS had creative autonomy, Neil says the band lasted longer than previous acts. But the grueling schedule for stars in the K-pop system can't last forever. The band brought up their feelings in that video they posted this week, where they talked about how difficult it is to be in the group.
It's the guys sitting around a table, opening bottles of whiskey and other drinks and starting to have a meal and shooting the crap and talking about their issues. And I think one thing that's so surprising is how candid and frank they are about the issues that they're having. RM, I think, is talking about how difficult it is to build out his own career and ambitions as an individual artist.
I've always thought that BTS was different from other groups. But the problem with the K-pop and the whole idol system is that they don't give you time to mature. You have to keep producing music and keep doing something. After I get up in the morning and get makeup done, there's no time left for growth.
And here you have members of BTS talking about hitting a rough patch and wanting to preserve themselves for the future. Some of this hour-long dinner video shows a certain wisdom about the K-pop trajectory. You do want to take a rest before you just burn out. And one possibility is that BTS want longevity. They want this to go on. And so they see taking a rest as a smart thing to do.
That's another BTS member, Jimin.
We've come to think about what kind of artists we each want to be remembered as to our fans. I think that's why we're going through a rough patch right now. We're trying to find our identity, and that's an exhausting and long process. Our fans know us, and we know us. We have so many things we want to tell them, but we can't be honest all the time. We want to be comfortable with them, but it's so hard, and that's worn us out. We're trying to slowly figure things out now. It feels so wrong to even say that we're exhausted.
So what happened was they're talking about all this, which is touchy stuff. You're talking about like, hey, they're going on a break. It naturally sends shockwaves through the BTS fan community. What are they talking about? Is this a hiatus? Is this an indefinite hiatus?
Bit of a shocker for pop music fans today. Korean supergroup BTS announced they are taking a hiatus.
This really is really big news for a lot of people because the BTS Army, that's what their fans are called, huge group of people.
BTS is breaking up, and ironically, the only thing that helps ease the pain of a breakup is a new BTS song.
And it wasn't just the army of fans. Investors in BTS's agency, HYBE, began dumping the stock.
HYBE's shares tanked and basically closed down 25%, showing that investors, at least in Wall Street and across the world, were concerned about what impact this extended break by BTS would have on HYBE.
HYBE came out and clarified that BTS wasn't going on hiatus. They were just going to focus more on solo projects. HYBE said BTS member J-Hope will be releasing a solo album. He's also one of the headliners of Lollapalooza.
I think people are still digesting what's going on here. I think, by and large, fans expect a fairly extensive break, basically a near hiatus. But fans also do have confidence that they will come back, given they talked about it so much.
And as the BTS Army is processing this information, some are trying to stay positive and offer support.
Your guys' feelings are valid because I was a mess yesterday, even knowing the fact that BTS is not disbanding. They're not going anywhere. They keep reminding us that there's something.
One thing that we've seen over the last stretch here, maybe the last 5 years, maybe longer, is a bifurcated market. You have young emerging artists that are willing to do anything to get on YouTube, to get on TikTok, to make content 24 hours a day in order to achieve stardom when they're just starting out. At the same time, once artists become superstars and have leverage, you're seeing them exercise their ability to take their foot off the pedal more and more. You can see this as an example of artists at the highest level exercising their leverage and saying, hey, I want to take a break. This is not healthy for me.
That's all for today, Friday, June 17th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Your hosts are Ryan Knutson and me, Kate Linebaugh. The show is produced by Annie Baxter, Catherine Brewer, Pia Gadkari, Rachel Humphreys, Brendan Klinkenberg, Matt Kwong, Annie Minoff, Laura Morris, Afif Nasuli, Enrique Perez de la Rosa, Sarah Platt, Aaron Randall, Alan Rodriguez Espinosa, Pierce Singy, Mark Sovel, Catherine Whalen, and Victoria Whitley Berry. Our engineers are Griffin Tanner and Nathan Singapak. Our theme music is by So Wiley. Additional music this week from Catherine Anderson, Marcus Bagala, Peter Leonard, Bobby Lord, Emma Munger, Nathan Singapak, and Blue Dot Sessions. Fact-checking by Nicole Pasulka and Sky Patterson. Thanks for listening. We're off on Monday. See you Tuesday.